Okay, what went through your mind when you saw the subject on vessels of honor in a digital era, digital age? You don't have to share your thoughts, just think about that. What went through your mind? Maybe you pictured someone up here that's very staunch and hard against digital things, or maybe you pictured someone that up here that thinks everything out there is good and let's just run with it. So anyway, this morning, what I'll be addressing, more than just saying digital technology is bad or right and wrong, instead I want to ask the question, how does my use of digital tech honor God? And before we get started, though, you probably all saw this up here. And one thing I learned when I go to speaking anywhere, one thing I learned is if you're sharing anything of controversy, carry a weapon that's big enough to get you to the back door and get you out of there. I did this last time I spoke somewhere. I carried a broadsword, a medieval broadsword. And so we're going to be using this more than just protection. We're going to use this to make a point. And no pun intended, making a point. But we're going to be using it to share some stories. So instead of this morning, instead of focusing a lot on all the dangers of this, I think we know a lot of the dangers. We're going to try to take just a look at how is it affecting us today and how can we be honorable in our use of it. So a lot of the dangers you hear of is pornography. You can, at a click of a button, get on basically any kind of website with corruption and immorality. Okay, a lot of people jump on that right away. Then I want to tell you that is a very big danger. And if you're involved in it and you need freedom, don't think that you're a weirdo because you're involved in it, okay? It's a subject that the church is very much not talking about. It's very hidden. And it's a subject that's kind of hidden. So if you're involved in it, I don't want to say you're a weirdo, but Jesus wants to help you with that, okay? And this weekend, if you want to go talk to someone, come talk to any of us. We're about helping people find freedom in that. Another one that we don't hear much about, and there's youth in our circles that like these. One is horror movies. I don't know if any of you are involved in that, but that is something that some of you think isn't that big a deal. It's something that opens you up to the devil in ways that people have no idea. So I just want to share some of these things before we get started. Another one is books I love to read, and I read a lot. And there's books out there you can get online, and some of these books seem almost harmless, but they have a lot of evil connotation. Vampire books and movies. I don't know if any of y'all deal with any of that. But there's vampire books, and they have often have a twist to it that's like a romantic twist. And I know some youth that read these books, and they say they're not wrong. And so if you are, I would just say take a deep look at that and ask God, is this honoring you? And there's something that happens when you read these books. It opens your heart to Satan. So I just feel like I needed to share that. That's not the main topic. But a lot of our youth are not, I don't want to say a lot of our youth, there's youth I know that say, what's wrong with it? And so I just wanted to get that out of there. Okay, how does my use of tech affect me? How does it honor God? Do any of y'all remember back in the day when computers, you had like, it was about a 37-pound box, and you had keys to click on, there's nothing, touchscreen, what do you know what touchscreen was? And the capacity of those computers was, I don't know, maybe like a flip phone, maybe a little more. And now we all have supercomputers in our pockets. Your phone is actually a supercomputer. And we carry that around and we don't really think much of it. And now we have all these, we have streaming. You have Netflix, you have Amazon Prime movies, music. You know, it used to be when I wanted to go get a movie, when my friends wanted to go get a movie, this sounds better. You go to the red box at Dollar General, and you grab movies, and you, usually nothing that great, and you, that's how you got them, or you had to go to Walmart or Dollar General and buy them. And now we have all this stuff at the click of a button, we can sit in our homes on our couch and get on these things. And I'm not going to say that's completely wrong, but it's just the way life has changed. You now can get tons of entertainment right here. Think what else has changed. I remember the first iPhones came out, and the first man in our church that got an iPhone, it was kind of a big deal. You get this little cool thing. Video cameras used to have this box of video cameras. You'd walk around videoing. My uncle had one. I was like, man, that's really cool. You could film hunts and everything. And now we have everything like that on our on our iPhone. And the first guy in our church, I think he was in his upper 30s, he was kind of a techie guy, got an iPhone. We were all kind of like, wow, this is really cool, you know? You can email and everything right off your iPhone. So anyway, just a little bit of that. If you were, anybody here was born in the 90s, raise your hand. One, oh, okay. I just want to see exactly who we're talking to. So most of y'all, if you're born in the 90s and on up, this stuff really is affecting you. This thing of digital tech. Okay, let's start with a story before we get started. The light is dim here under the Colosseum. You take one last drink of water and double-check your armor. You unsheath your sword to inspect it one last time. It looks good. You put it back just as a bugle sounds, which is your cue to walk out into the arena. You squint as you walk into the bright sunlight, and then glance up at the spectators. A slight breeze ruffles the banners in the emperor's booth, and the sounds of 10,000 people begins to quiet as the contest is about to begin. Straight across the arena from your entry, another door opens. Here, another warrior also enters the arena. He stops briefly, letting his eyes adjust, and pulls his visor down. You square up your opponent. As he confidently walks to the center of the arena, small puffs of dust kick up around his feet. He seems to be of average build. His weapon is very similar to yours, and his shield even looks a bit smaller than yours. You begin heading his direction, and as you walk, a plan is forming in your mind. He seems to be about your size, and hopefully not as strong as you. With your prowess and some determination, you should be able to expose his weaknesses, wear him down quickly, and then finish the match. Whether or not you kill him is up to the emperor. Some matches end in death, or if the emperor gives a thumbs up instead of the thumbs down, it means you let your opponent live to fight another day, even though he is severely wounded. You face one another, sword gripped tightly. A second bugle sounds and the match begins. Your opponent moves quickly, quicker than you expected. You parry a thrust and return one of your own, which is blocked. As you step back to readjust, he kicks dirt in your face. This was unexpected, and it blinds you for a second. Suddenly, you're playing defensive as your opponent begins a series of thrusts and cuts that you barely manage to avoid. You manage to block another blow and get a few in return, which are also blocked. You're only 2 minutes in, and you're already breathing hard. Instead of wearing down your opponent, it seems as if he's getting stronger with each moment. You thought you had trained for this. You didn't expect it to be this difficult in the heat of the battle. You had heard other gladiators speaking of victory and thought it would be somewhat easy. You grip your sword tighter and take a firmer stance. Now you're in a total defensive position. Hopefully you can somehow keep from losing. You block three more attacks, and then suddenly your opponent comes at you with a combination of thrusts and a backspin that you had never trained for. White-hot pain is searing your right shoulder. You quickly swap the sword to your left hand and clumsily try to slow the attack. As you go to block the next thrust, too late you realize it is only a feint to get you to expose your left side, and pain explodes right beneath your ribcage. It's not a completely fatal blow, but it puts you on the ground writhing in pain. You are defeated, and your opponent puts his foot on your chest and raises his sword as he looks at the emperor. The roaring, bloodthirsty crowd goes quiet as the emperor raises his hand. He gives the thumbs up, meaning you live. As your opponent leers down at you with his foot on your chest, he slowly sheathes his sword and then takes off his helmet. You gasp, for the face looking at you is your own. Your opponent was none other than yourself. As the light begins to fade, you hear bells in the background. Suddenly, you lurch awake to the sound of your alarm, and your foggy mind tries to reconcile whether this was reality or a dream. As you sit up, you realize it was just a dream, but it seemed to be a very realistic dream. Any of you relate? The battle we face today with our technology, whether it's facing something that's completely morally wrong or whether it's just something that's somewhat amoral and we're just wasting time on it, the battle often resides with ourselves. And we carry ourselves wherever we go. And so that's what makes it somewhat difficult. And where it used to be, we would say, okay, we don't want to have TV in our homes. We don't want to have radio or bad music in our homes. So you could kind of shut those things out. And now we carry it with us. And so now the battle has become very close to home, and we can no longer just have rules in place. We have to have convictions in place about what does Christ want. And so we want to look at some scripture this morning on that. Turn to Proverbs 2, 1 through 17. Mark already read some verses last night about vessels of honor, and we're going to jump to that one as well here soon, but I want to read in Proverbs because it's so It's so much what we need today. Proverbs chapter 2. While you're turning there, I'm going to tell you another short story. So, have y'all ever read stories of pirates? And here's where the sword comes in. So this, I was in the Caribbean for 2 years, and I would like to say I was swimming in the Caribbean when I found this from Blackbeard the Pirate, but I didn't. I bought it. And anyway, so the pirates were very prominent in the Caribbean and down along the Horn of Africa, way down south, and they would attack trade routes. Okay? And so what they would do is, it was a bunch of men that were a bunch of cutthroats, and the books all hype up the things. These men were not glamorous men. They weren't good-looking men. They were missing limbs and teeth, and they weren't what the books and movies make them. And their method was, they would see a ship in the distance, and if the wind was up, they would pull up all their sails, and they'd race after the ship, and often they would have rowers as well. And the ship would see them coming, so all the men on the other ship would get ready. They knew what was going to happen. And along either the port side or the starboard, they would have men waiting with swords drawn. Because one of the pirates' things was they would come up beside the ship, and they would have grappling hooks, and it would hook on the ship, along the side of the ship. And these men were supposed to be waiting. They would slice through with their sword. And then another one would come, and you had several men running that edge, slicing off the ropes, the grappling hooks that were coming in. But there was one other thing. The pirates, was not unusual for them to have an archer up in the crow's nest, and he would be shooting these men that had their swords and were down there cutting the ropes in half. It was very important for those men down there cutting the ropes to stay focused, because you know, you're running a long edge, you maybe just a couple men, the other men are doing something else. You had to stay very focused, and you also did not want to get hit with the arrows of the archer, because when you went down, it made so it was much more likely the pirates could attach a line and they would pull in and throw gangplanks over. And what's happening today with a lot of this thing with digital technology is that maybe the arrows, we're avoiding the arrows coming in, the heavy things, but we're not able to cut the ropes. We're getting distracted. And the devil's throwing grappling hooks at our lives, and we're having trouble cutting the ropes free and just staying free. And what happens, once he gets those grappling hooks, gets enough of them on us, the pirates pull in, and we become very, very much under attack. So let's read Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Speaking of needing wisdom. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to wisdom, to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. So we need so much wisdom and understanding in navigating the use of our digital tech. So I'm talking basically about all the media you can access. We're talking about some social media, movies, music, those things. And I'm not here to say those things are wrong. They're not wrong, but how we use them can become wrong. So as we go through this, continue asking yourself, what am I doing? Does it honor God or does it dishonor God? Am I using it to be a vessel of honor? Okay, the first thing I would like to talk about, I have five different points here, is being intentional. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. Please turn to that. I'm going to put my sword down, that way I don't cut anybody. I think we're done with it for now. Just don't jump up here at me or I will get it. They say when you go to speak somewhere, there's several things where the world says. They say don't be politically correct. Don't step on people's toes. Don't make people uncomfortable. And we hope to do all of that today. So if you disagree with me, I'm totally okay with that. And if we have questions later or something, some different thoughts, we want to do that. I want to be open to that. All right, 2, 1 through 6 in Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 2. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Do you think it's a coincidence that everything is now on the air? The radio is airing. Fox News is airing. Good morning, America. Everything runs on that stuff. Wi-Fi. It says the devil was the prince of the power of the air. So, is the devil in charge of those things? It was just thought shared with me. He's a prince of the power of the air. So, I don't have a lot of thoughts on that, but it was an interesting thought to think about. Here, Christ wants us to sit in heavenly places, it says. The devil wants to fulfill what our flesh wants and what our mind craves. Those are battling against each other. Christ wants to show us his exceeding riches of his grace. He wants us to sit in those heavenly places. And the devil wants to distract us in such a way that we voluntarily give up the real blessings that Christ wants to give us. And a lot of people can say, well, this stuff I'm dealing with is really difficult. If I would have born in a different era, it might be easier. But we actually voluntarily do these things. We voluntarily make a choice to use our tech how we use it. Whether or not it's psychologically developed to hit you in a way that makes it very, very addicting, it's still your choice. There's a quote that was read to me just recently. We drown in entertainment to avoid the silence where God speaks, then complain he is silent. And that is true in my life as well. I'm not up here having it all figured out. This is a battle I've been fighting for a while. And this is something that God has been showing me very clearly. If you want to keep growing, if you want to keep hearing the Spirit of God, you cannot be drowning me in entertainment and media. Did you know that we voluntarily give it up and we reach for that instant dopamine hit over and over again, and it leaves us empty yet craving more? That's how it works. You know what video shorts are and video reels? 10 years ago, we had no clue. And they came up with those things. And those things are designed to hold you for hours. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I think you do. And it just drags you in. And the thing is, it feels like you're like receiving like a bunch of compact information. That's my brain loves it. I love to learn. And so it's like, man, I can learn so much in this 30-second video. Then I click on another one. And before long, you might be in a couple hours. And you walk away and you're feeling a little empty, but your body, your brain craves that dopamine hit. The average teenager, and this is in the world statistics, spends 7.5 to 9 hours a day on their phone. That's what I work in a day. That's a full-time job. Are we okay with half that time? Are you okay with 4 hours, 5 hours a day? Let's just do half as good as the world. How often throughout the day do you catch yourself just going on your phone looking to be entertained? Going down the road, you're standing in the checkout line, you just whip out your phone, like your brain wants to like absorb that, just on and on. As soon as we sit down, our phone comes out. It's kind of natural. And I'm not saying this is all of y'all, but this is just kind of general, what generally happens. Your phone comes out. You can't even go to the toilet with your phone. You know that? Not all of you, but some of you. Like, yeah, let's just leave that there. But that's just how we are. It become an intimate part of our life. So intimate that we take it to bed with, we sleep with it, we wake up, and the first thing we want to do is look at our phone. And it used to be when someone was to borrow your computer, sure, go ahead. Someone was to borrow your phone for an hour, you'd be like, I don't know about that. It's kind of mine. Stuff is changing. How about someone come up and randomly go through your phone? I mean, that's like going through a personal journal almost. Anyway, I don't want someone to do it to mine either. It's not respectful, but it's become very, very much a part of us, of our lives. And here's the thing. It was designed that way, and it's really, really working. The people that develop these things, if you talk to some of these techs in Silicon Valley, their children, they actually have very strict guidelines for some of their children, and y'all probably know this. And they actually got psychologists in to help with their use of, with the building of these media platforms and different things to help it, you know, connect with our brains in a way that just, we just want it. So it's not just by chance that this stuff happens. It's not just by chance that it's addictive. It's by design. So let's keep moving here. And there is a verse in 1 Corinthians 10:23, and this is a verse that I take literally when I'm dealing with this in my own life, with this thing of entertainment and things. It is 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Now, I don't mean to take this out of context. This is talking about meat, but I think the same thing applies to us today. There's movies out there that are good. Some people would say all movies are bad. I don't think there is. But not all things are helpful. They don't all build up. And so my question is, how do we go about this with being intentional with our use of some of these things? There are some movies you'll watch that are going to be very inspirational. There's one I would advise everyone to watch. It's called Unplanned. It deals with the thing of abortion. That was one that really opened my eyes to this whole thing of abortion. It's kind of, it's not really a documentary, but it's just a good one. And there's others out there. All right, my advice is on your use of this, being intentional. Don't just try to cut back on your time. Be intentional with your time, your video shorts and social apps. They want to grab you, and they do a great job of it. But ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? When you go on the phone and you want to go on YouTube to look at something, ask yourself, why am I doing it? And you on Facebook, you want to scroll and you look up some news, you look at your friends. Just ask yourself, why am I doing this? And by default, if you go on there, you're going to just probably waste a lot of time if you don't have a plan. So these are some things I'm doing in my own life right now to help me manage my time with this stuff. So be intentional. Two, watch out for solitary time on media. A lot of solitary time alone. That was redundant. But anyway, Ezekiel 16 verse 49 has a verse that has been on my mind about this thing of solitary time. And it pertains to the city of Sodom. Now we say Sodom was just completely immoral and they were just depraved people. Scripture says, here was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. And in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the needy. We have an abundance of idleness in our churches, in our country. And the devil loves to use that abundance of idleness. He's wanting to fill it with things that don't always seem bad, is the thing. If you're intentional and avoid a lot of solitary time with your media, it makes it more difficult to be tempted to use it unwisely. Okay, it makes it more difficult for the devil to do that. So just remember that. So the devil knows this, and he has very innocent ways of getting you to spend solitary time on your phone. One of his tactics, and I've faced this in my own life, is to use amoral content. You know what amoral means, right? Neither good nor bad. He uses, gets you to spend lots of amoral time on your phone, and then he gets you into immoral content. Because as you're on it, you're spending time, what happens is you go on it with no plan, really. You start scrolling, and your brain starts numbing down. And then you want something, you start getting little dopamine hits, and you want to go more and more and more. And finally, all of a sudden, you're into a place where, like, I didn't plan to be here. And that's how it often works. One is gaming. Is there any gamers here? Don't raise your hand, but is there any gamers here? If you are, I'm going to step on your toes, okay? Gaming is a way that seems, it's somewhat amoral, and I taught some students that were heavy gamers. The poor guys were burning brain cells faster than you could rebuild them every day. And it's an amoral thing that can seem very innocent, and they live in a virtual world. Gamers live in a virtual world, spend hours alone. And that's the thing that bothers me the most about it, probably, besides the brain cells burning. is they spend hours alone, and what happens after a while, you get bored with that, and then you go online just looking for something more interesting, more interesting. And so you're wasting time, and you often end up getting into trouble because of that. And that's the way the devil works. He often comes very subtly in. And yeah, the devil's very good at that. Another one is, we talked about a little bit, scrolling with no purpose and seeking entertainment. I like to sometimes, when I'm traveling or doing something, I want my brain to just to have a sugar feed. And so I go on YouTube and I'll like look up what's interesting next. Okay? What is the next interesting thing? And right now, Charlie Kirk, you follow the news. That's really interesting. And then you can get on just video shorts of these people. Man, people do some cool stuff. I'm like, man, that's neat. And you click on that and you can keep going and going. That's one way that we can fall into sin, is by spending time scrolling with no purpose. Okay, you may ask, what is wrong with this? Where does Scripture speak of this? Turn to 2 Timothy 2. It's the same chapter that we have our key verses in for this weekend. But this is going to be in 2, 1 through 4. And I absolutely love these verses. And it's going to help us get a grasp on why we need to be careful with these things. All right, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a good soldier. Now this is only going to make sense if you understand spiritual warfare. You know all of you are warriors, right? And all you ladies are as well, okay? Just because you are ladies doesn't mean you can't fight. And us guys, we like to fight physically. I still love to. I wouldn't want to wrestle any of y'all guys, but maybe someone a little smaller than some of y'all. Us men, we like to think about it as warriors. I actually wish, I've actually said this in the past, I'm not sure anymore now, but I used to say I would love if we could have spiritual warfare where we actually fought hand-to-hand combat physically instead of just spiritually. Because then I could really see my enemy, you know, and then you could work out and train and try to get, you know, stronger than him. Well, we can actually do that spiritually. And so this is only going to make sense if you want to get involved in spiritual warfare. If you don't want to get involved in spiritual warfare, this does not apply to you, okay? It says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs. Here's the thing I see happening with a lot of this digital tech in my own life. It deadens me to the spiritual warfare we are in. So this last, I'm going to say 2 years, has been very, very interesting in my life. As I started trying to be intentional with, throughout the day, realizing you're not on a mission field, you don't have to go on the mission field to be in spiritual warfare, okay? It's all around us. There is so many people that we meet throughout the week at your job, whether you're at a feed mill, whether you're a school teacher, whether you do mini barns like I do, or concrete, some of y'all guys. The people we meet are in our souls. And if we are numbing our brains down and filling it full of entertainment throughout the week, we do not see those people as souls. We see them as kind of a distraction to get out of the way, and then we can get back to work. And as we stop and start talking to those people, and we meet them in their brokenness, like Mark said last night, your mind starts opening up to the spiritual warfare that we are actually in, and life gets really, really interesting, okay? If you want an interesting life, start engaging with the people you meet every single day. And so the blue hairs and the tattoos and the earrings, those guys and women, they're actually very hurting. Okay? The people that come to your job site, guys, that are the big guys, the burly guys that swear a lot and everything, often I've heard in the past, people are like, man, I just wanted to get away from him because it was so filthy, his mouth was so filthy, and I didn't want to be close to him. God wants us to walk towards those people. And one thing you can do is just ask those people about their lives. Some people are like, I don't know how to engage with them. Just ask them a simple question. Say, hey, how are you doing? And sometimes they'll say, you know, I'm fine. Some people actually give you a really honest answer. And that's really a good start. And someone would be like, man, my life really sucks. And you're like, okay, really? Okay, why is that? Anyway, start asking just a few simple questions. And if you are engaged in spiritual warfare and you understand it, you're not numbed down by all this other stuff, your brain and God can speak, the Holy Spirit can speak to you and show you how to go a little farther. But I find out when my mind is absorbing a lot of this stuff, I go through a whole week without ever even thinking about this. So that is one of the biggest things that has been bothering me about the use of this thing in my own life. It entangles me with the affairs of this life. So we talked about gaming. We talked about scrolling with no purpose. Another one that I deal with is I hunt. And I spent a lot of solitary time. And for years, you would go out there with no distractions. And now, when you get in the tree stand, you're like, man, I hope we have service here because I want to be like entertained. I want to watch something or be texting all my buddies. Text your buddies. But it's hours of time that used to be very beautiful, and now you have to be very intentional not to just fill those 4 hours with just entertainment. And I found that I'm having to take serious steps to not do that, because I love to hunt, but as I'm out hunting, doing what I enjoy and being in nature with God, the devil's right there as well. And I told my buddies, I said, this year I want to take my phone with me, and I want to leave that phone in my pocket unless I fall out of the tree stand. And I want to like be intentional, use this time, maybe read a book, or maybe just spend time thinking about life as I'm out there. Because that's something I deal with. I don't game. I don't have time to game, but I have time to hunt. So that's one thing I'm facing. Maybe you don't have time to hunt, you have time to game. Same thing. We have to be using this as a tool instead of a toy. And I know you've heard that before, but we got to start doing that. Once you start doing that, everything starts changing. So here's just a few things, that ways to fight this. And whenever you stop doing something, you stop in entertainment, you have to fill it with something else. You can't go cold turkey. Jordan Peterson says you never stop anything. You always just fill it with something else. And so I don't know what all your hobbies are. So of course we know the standard ways of fighting this. We pray, we seek God, do that. I would also advise you to play an instrument or learn an instrument or learn music. That is an excellent way of filling your mind and stuff instead of entertainment, filling with something good. And you can give back to society with that. Have a book on your phone that doesn't take you online. Do y'all still read? Turn your phone off. Just take time to turn your phone off. And there's something about solitary time. In a good way. You can spend solitary time on tech, or you can spend it alone with no distractions. And I have a story about that here in a minute. So, point number three is have a safe place away from tech. Any of y'all do that? Have a time away from it? Charlie Kirk, you have one? Okay. Charlie Kirk said something. He said every once a week, he called it a Sabbath, he would turn off his phone and all his media for like a whole day and spend time with his kids and his wife and spend time in worship as well. I was like, man, I need to start doing that. Sunday afternoons, just all Sunday, just don't have any distractions like that. One day a week. It's one time to give your mind a break. You can detox it. You ever hear of digital detox? If any of y'all have never done a digital detox, do it. Go a whole month saying, I'm not going to do any entertainment. You would be amazed how smart you feel after those 30 days, man. You just feel sharp as a tack. Life is just extremely interesting. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. We got to start being still, guys. And when we're still, there's something happens. I just did a devotional on this. When we're still, God moves. When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, God said, be still. When those people came out against the Israelites, they didn't know what to do. God said, be still. And when they're still, God said, all right, go to all the pawn shops, get all the musical instruments you can get a hold of, get the best singers around, and go sing them. Go sing them to death. And they did that. And those people just destroyed each other. But they had to first of all be still. And Elijah, he was in the cave. He heard all the big wind, the fire, and everything. And then he heard a still, small voice. And when we're still is when we hear God. I met a man who was very intentional with his life. He's mid-50s. He had raised a family. He was raising a family still. And he was overseas as a missionary. And him and his wife were experiencing extreme burnout to where they literally could barely function mentally anymore. And he said they did something to recharge. So instead of, you know, we come back from missionary trips and we're these amazing missionaries, you know, we have all the stories and all everything. He wanted to go meet all our family, go travel for 7 weeks. He said he's not going to do that. He is going to go recharge by being still. They went somewhere, I believe it was New Zealand, him and his wife and his family. And they went out and spent time on just got an Airbnb or something close to the vast, not the moor, I'm not sure what it is, maybe it's the moor. And I believe for 7 weeks, he said he would go out for half a day in the morning and just be still before God. No distractions. I believe he'd read the word, maybe, I don't know if he'd sing or listen to music. I don't think it was that. I think it was just basically prayer and reading. For 7 weeks, he'd go out in the morning, he'd come in at lunch, his wife would go out while he took care of the kids. And you talk about being still. And you talk about recharging your batteries and getting fired up. He said he came back from that. He said he was so just filled He said he was able just to keep going on just wide open again. I was like, man, that is so good. I need to start doing that. And I actually asked him then. It was at some seminars. And when I asked him later, I said, what do you do now to stay intentional with your life? He said, I believe it's once a month. He said, I take a day off of solitary time. I just go, just me and God, no distractions. So that was something I was very, very impressed with and something we can start implementing in our lives. Maybe you can't take a whole day off. Maybe you could just go 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, go on a hike. But it will do something to you when you be still. So talking about having a safe place away from tech, this is a place where you will go, where you're not wasting time on your device, and you will not be able to be tempted to use it unwisely. Do you have a certain amount of time you stay when you're not on your phone or close to it? If you don't, I would advise you to. Maybe in the morning, maybe you've got the first hour, from the time you get up until the time you go to work, just try not to look at your phone. Or maybe if you look at it, just make sure there's nothing important, and then turn it off and go and just spend the first hour just in quiet, no distraction. That's very healthy. I would also advise you have at least 30 minutes before bedtime where you don't have your phone. This is physical and spiritual reasons. The blue light messes with your eyes. You won't be able to sleep as well. And I've been going through this series. You've probably heard it, the Conquer series. Going through it 3 times now. Extremely, extremely good for men and ladies. It talks about a lot of these things. They said when your mind has a 30-minute break beforehand, your body starts shutting down and your brain is ready to just be calm as well. A lot of temptations you're going to face on this with tech is when you're alone by yourself, and a lot of it's as you're in your bedroom by yourself. It's just how it is. And so if we can shut that off 30 minutes before, your mind maybe spend some time just playing an instrument or reading or something, get your mind ready, you won't face as many battles with spiritual warfare in this area. Something I've had to do is don't take it to bed with you. Charge your phone outside. I remember struggling with some things, and finally it was like, that phone is not going into my bedroom with me. I'm going to charge it outside the door. I'm going to turn the alarm wide open so I have to get out of bed the next morning and get it. So first of all, you get out of bed right away. It's good. But it's just not an option. And that's just one way we can do. We can be intentional with this, being away from our phone. You know what your prefrontal cortex is? Some of y'all are probably a lot more knowledgeable on this than I am. It's up in here where your decisions are made. It's not developed till you're 25, okay? So if you get married before you're 25, your decision was mediocre. I'm joking on that. I got married at 26 or 27. I think it was 26. I'm not sure. Where's my wife? But I knew I made the best decision because I waited to start dating until I was at least 25. So maybe more on that, Wilson. When your decisions are made in this area where your impulses are regulated, and when you're tired, your brain is much more likely to make bad decisions. So that's another reason to try to stay off your phone first thing in the morning, first thing at night, especially if you've been dealing with some of these things. You're dealing with spiritual battles. So that's one reason your brain doesn't work as good. When you're upset, watch out what you do. We often turn to something that our brain wants a dopamine hit. We often get on to entertainment right away. So if you're upset, just be conscious of that and say, you know what, I'm just going to walk away from this for a little bit. So having a safe place and being intentional goes hand in hand. All right, the fourth one, 2 Timothy 2:22. We just read about being vessels of honor. Verse 21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So here it says, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. And so a lot of people are stuck in this thing. They don't want to, they say, this is bad. And they play a lot of defense. I'm okay with that. But more than that, I would like for you to play offense. Playing offense is better than a good defense. I just played some softball, and I'm not that great at softball. I just played a fundraiser tournament a weekend or two ago with some friends, and I realized very, very quickly that if you can't hit the ball good, your team can't hit the ball, doesn't matter how good you can stop it at short, you're not winning. Okay? And so a good offense is very, very key to being a vessel of honor. We must have a desire for holiness when you're viewing this. if you don't have a desire for holiness, this stuff isn't going to really make sense. And what I'm talking about is, so there's something that I'm on my phone, I'm on YouTube, I'm looking at some things, and there's just content that comes on. I look at it and say, you know, it's not that bad. And so I click on it, watch it. And when I say it's not that bad, there probably is a little bit of something on there that's not decent. That is fighting a defensive position. Instead of saying, you know what, that's not that bad, but it's also not great. It might take me where I don't want to go. And so you just don't go there. Don't fight so much against the inappropriate content and wasting time, but focus on actually growing and maturing spiritually. Does that make sense to you? That's something that we have to be doing. Take time to sit each day to sit with God, sit and be still, meditate on Scripture, and prepare your mind for the day. You know what it means to prepare your mind for the day? It's getting up in the morning, and we can spend time in the morning reading and praying and never connecting with God. We have our devotions, we say. You can have your devotions for weeks on end and never really connect. There's something about preparing your mind. You know yourself better than anyone. And get up in the morning, you pray, and you seek God, you spend some time in worship. We don't know how to worship like we should. That's a whole other topic. This morning we worshiped. It was good. Spend time and go throughout your day and say, you know what? I might be facing this today. Okay, how am I going to be dealing with this? What am I going to do when I face this situation? I know I'm going to be traveling for an hour by myself today. What am I going to be doing? That is preparing your mind ahead of time for the battle you're going to be facing. I would advise you to do that. Maybe you're going to be working with an employee that kind of ticks you off. You can prepare for that, okay? Maybe none of y'all have that. I don't right now. I used to. I'm sure all of y'all like music. I would say when you listen to music or listen to podcasts, that's a huge thing. I'm not against that stuff, but try to make it great content. And then you ever hear of layering in your day? So you say, I'm going to be traveling. Okay, so what you do is I'm traveling, I'm listening to a good podcast at the same time. You're using your time for a dual purpose. Some guys, they can work and listen to music. I'm actually okay with that. As long as your employers and employees don't mind, listen to good music as you're working. It gets your mind in a good frame of mind. Those are some proactive things we can do throughout the day. And then sometimes just unplug everything, drive down the road for 30 minutes, an hour, and don't listen to anything. Just open your eyes. It really feels really good. So don't just avoid the bad, but actually pursue the good. I want you to take that with you. Okay, we have 5 more minutes here. Let's land the plane quickly. I have my last one. It's find accountability, no matter if you're struggling with something bad or if you're just... say I'm doing pretty good. I would still advise you to find a group of accountability in this area of tech. It would be invaluable for you. 1 John 1:7, this is one of my favorite verses. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's a correlating thing of walking in the light and having fellowship. It's much easier to walk in the light when you have fellowship and you have accountability with other people. And I'm convinced there's a few people that can do it, I'm sure, walking alone through this era of digital tech, that can do it alone. But I can only stay focused and stuff when there's other men and women walking beside me in this. And I'll show you just a few ways that we're doing that. I have verbal accountability of what I do with my tech. There's a group of guys we've been meeting every Wednesday now for about a year, I would say. And we meet early, and we talk about life, we talk about tech, and it's extremely, extremely helpful. And I'm a grown man, and I still need that, and I plan to still need that. Now, but will I continue the rest of my life? Maybe not every week, but I want to have something in place, verbally, where I meet with men and discuss this. Another thing that we have is software accountability. Do people see, is your accountability on your device, does somebody see what you've been doing and where you've been and how much time you've been spending on it? I had a friend here, I think earlier this summer, that I'm accountable to with my tech. He just messaged me and said, man, you've been spending a lot of time on your phone. I was like, yes, I have been. And it called me out, and it was exactly what I needed. And so that's just for time. And there's also, then you can see, you know, what websites have you been going on? What kind of media you've been intaking? It's just really good. And this only works if you want it, okay? If you don't want it, don't worry about it. If you don't want to grow, this stuff doesn't apply to you. So a little bit on this thing of accountability. There's different things you can do. I mean, oh, y'all have heard of covenant eyes or accountable to you. Those are okay. The thing about being accountable with this thing is it makes me, when I go on my phone, not only know I'm accountable to God, but I know that someone physically is going to see this. Someone's physically going to probably read my reports if they love me. And I want people to do that. I've said, hey, like, look over everything. Okay, you might wonder, how do I start an accountability group that meets? Our church tried it once. There were some guys that were doing this meeting, just kind of had their own thing going, and church was like, this is really good. Okay, so let's get the whole church together, and let's break each everybody up in groups of five, and we meet every week or every quarter or something. That does not work very well, okay? This is something that has to be, the Spirit gets you together, or you want it, and then you meet, and you can be very honest with each other. So maybe you don't have that, and you're not sure if there's anybody in your church you connect with. I would advise you to pray about it. Say, God, I really want to grow, and I want to be accountable with this. Can you help us get a group together? I found out that all these things, you can apply all these things, but if you do not want it, if you still want to just be entertained, if you still want to get inappropriate content, you can get it. You can get burner phones. You can get, it's very easy. And so it comes down to a matter of the heart. Here's something to take with you. No man is an island. And so let's not treat life like that. Being a godly vessel in a technological age is something where we need the Holy Spirit and other people's help. Two scriptures to take with you. 1 Corinthians 6:2, 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Very similar to the other verse in Corinthians. He says, not all things build up. Here he says, not all things are lawful. Not all things. Here he says, he will not be brought under the power of any. And then one more verse. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So just remember that this is a spiritual warfare we're in. This can either build you up or it can numb you down. So let's use it in an honorable way. Thanks for your attention.